OTB AM.
With Gillette, proud supporters of Movember. Gentlemen, let's mow.
Time for something entirely different in in many respects. Tony Kelly, good morning to you. How are you?
Not too bad, no.
Have you been reading a bit about Maradona? Have you been down a YouTube wormhole over the last 24 hours?
I haven't actually. Just seen it on Twitter yesterday evening, and that's about the extent of it. I haven't been down the YouTube hole yet.
Well, it's ahead of you anyway, hopefully.
Yeah, I know. You've seen, obviously, I've seen clips of him, in fairness. Probably a bit young before my time, but definitely seen clips of him. And yeah, as he said this morning, what a fantastic player.
Come here, how is the ankle? What is the actual situation with it?
I just got a cut, I suppose, on Saturday evening, or on Saturday against Waterford. So just a bit of ligament damage. So in a boot now for a couple of weeks, and try and build it up then after that. And it's not going to keep me out. It's not going to keep me out too long, maybe 4 or 5, 6 weeks. So could have been worse. But obviously the biggest disappointment to begin was losing. I suppose that kind of maybe compounded it all then.
How did it actually happen?
It was just over the sideline. I kind of got a cut in the warm-up. I got a cut maybe in Conor Cleary in the warm-up. We were doing kind of a goal shooting drill, and I got a cut in him, but it was fine after that. And then kind of heading out towards the sideline, whatever way I kind of came down, kind of on the astroturf near the sideline, it just kind of gave way to me and kind of went over on it. And it's just kind of one of those things. I've done it before. I did it 3 or 4 years ago as well on the same ankle, and much worse actually. So it wasn't too bad this time around, but it's just a disaster when you lose, and then you find out then that you're in a boot in for a couple of weeks after.
Did you know straight away that this is almost exactly the same, and it's gonna at least curtail my ability to influence this game?
Yeah, I've probably had ankle trouble where you roll it in training, or you roll it playing a match, and you kind of know when you do a job in it, and you know when it only maybe take 2 or 3 minutes to run off. And I knew Saturday evening when I did it that it was on the more severe side. But I got back in the field. I was able to do a small bit, and it's no excuse either. It was once the adrenaline kind of gets going in the match, you kind of forget about it. It's the only restriction part was maybe twisting and turning, a straight line running or anything like that. It wasn't too bad, but it was kind of Sunday morning then when you kind of get up, that you've a bit of damage done to it.
Can we skip the Waterford game for a minute, and we'll come back to that, I promise. But I do want to talk to you about the rest of the season that you were having. You were playing pretty well there for a little while, Tony. What was going on?
I suppose in a rich vein of form. But it all goes down to the players around you as well. Everyone kind of made a big deal of scores being scored or anything like that. But I think a lot of it too is when you're hitting freeze, a lot of your scores get inflated as well. The scores you kind of really count are the ones you're kind of chipping in from play. The majority of freeze, 70-80% of freeze are normally in front of the goal where forwards get fouled. And to be fair, it's like Shane O'Donnell, Colm Lone, Shanahan, Ryan Taylor, all them lads, they were the ones maybe winning dirty ball, getting fouled in front of the goal or laying it off to you. So, there was a lot made of kind of the scoring contribution of myself, but others had a massive role to play in it as well. Even the last day against Waterford, you've seen Aaron Shanahan come in, I think it was 2-1 or 2-2 he scored. Colm Lone every day went out 2 or 3 points, and I've said it numerous times, but Shane O'Donnell's work rate is absolutely immense as well in getting fouled and setting up scores as well. So, a lot was made, I suppose, of the scoring for myself, but it was a collective effort up front from us.
Look, I know, and I fully appreciate that you are a part of a team as well. Can we talk about the scores from play then? It did seem like you were scoring at a higher rate this year than you have done in previous seasons. Did your role change? Did your responsibility, was there an ask on you to be someone who was taking more shots and to take that responsibility on as well? Or how did that come about?
No, not really. I didn't really have the conversation with Brian and kind of what way he kind of wanted me to play personally. He kind of sets out the team, and you kind of have to fit in your role within the team. I suppose I was playing probably midfield in the league, doing a lot of hurling at midfield, and then championship I was kind of floating from midfield into full forward line and kind of back out. And it's kind of, I suppose, with the freeze, when you're hitting freeze, when you kind of take a free on the edge of the square or on the D or on the 21, you're not going to get back out for a puck out. So it was only kind of maybe hit tap a free over the bar and then stay inside in that position for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. So that's kind of the way it worked out. It was more off the cuff of being maybe inside. And then maybe as the season went on, Brian kind of came up with different ways to kind of utilise the forwards, kind of get us more kind of rotating around the place. Not just myself, every forward. So don't spend maybe 40, 45 minutes in the one wing or the one spot and constantly trying to move your forwards around. It's one thing, I suppose Tipperary are probably the best at it in terms of their 6 forwards. Same thing with Cork when they go out. If you're cornerback marking John McGrath, you could end up being centre forward for 5 or 10 minutes wing forward. So it's just trying to make your, I suppose, the opposition backs kind of on their feet and bring your lads to different positions that they're not used to playing in, really.
And is that more enjoyable to play in? I guess it must be.
Oh, it is, definitely. And especially when, especially when you go out and I suppose you're maybe there's some probably man marker or lad probably detailed to mark, you're trying to bring them. You probably know them, first of all, where they're used to playing. Maybe if it's a centre-back, bringing him maybe in full-back or cornerback or out midfield, or if you're on a midfielder, maybe bringing them in corner forward and making them play cornerback. So it's about bringing people in, maybe where they're uncomfortable. And as a result of them, you're either trying to create space for others around you or you're trying to take advantage of them playing a different position, really.
What sort of player don't you like to see coming over to mark you in a game, Tony?
I often find it that the hardest, sometimes the hardest kind of is the player that makes you mark them. I always say that the hardest person I've ever marked in hurling is Colm Galvin in Clare Shannon. You go out and mark him midfield, it's you spend, out of the 70 minutes, you could spend 35, 40 of them following him. He's got a perfect balance with, he's able to pick you up in important stages. He'll let you kind of float back around your own backs, and then when you come out to midfield, he'll pick you up. But then he'll make you mark him, then he'll bring you on a marauding run up the other end of the field, or if he gets a point or two off you, then that makes you kind of sit back and go, right, I need to start picking this fellow up. So I think he's the hardest person I've ever marked, because he's able to do both roles extremely well. He's able to mark, but he's also able to make you mark him, if that makes sense.
What's this kind of like, actually being in that zone where you know you're in a very, very rich vein of form, as you say yourself there, knowing that kind of scores are going over for you, that you're getting the opportunities, that intangible thing that you're just playing well and there's very little that the opposition can do about that? What is that like, those couple of weeks between like the Limerick game and the Wexford game in particular, when there was a lot of great stuff written about you?
You've just got to block it all out and kind of concentrate on your own game. Look, it's like when you have one good game, the goal is to try and back it up again the next day. But I suppose the biggest thing I've kind of learned the last few years is be patient with it. Every game is completely different. You go out one day, you could get on loads of ball, you could get loads of scores. The next day, you could go out, you mightn't be on as much ball, but you've got to try and be as effective then for the team in terms of work rate, running off the ball, creating space for other lads. And eventually, I think the harder you work, I think, and I suppose working smart as well, not trying to run around the place, trying to get on loads of ball and end up doing nothing, kind of work smart and take your chances when they get them. So every game is completely different. When you're a rich vein of form, you can kind of put yourself under more pressure to score more than you did the previous day. And I suppose that's not the way I approached it. You got to be patient with it. And as I said, I suppose for any forward, I suppose the biggest thing is just kind of work rate, really. A hook or a block or a turnover can be as important as a score to get you into a game. And as I said, I just took it every game at a time this year. And
was that,
you know,
new?
You just got to try and...
Is that new, Tony? Were you putting yourself under pressure in previous years?
I suppose when you're younger, you kind of, as a young player coming in, maybe the first 2 or 3 years, you're trying to impress every day you go out. And I suppose that the more experience you get, then you kind of realise the flow of a game. The biggest thing I've learned, I suppose, is patience, more so than anything. I remember before, you'd often kind of be judged as a forward. I always felt you'd be judged on kind of what you scored when I came into the senior panel or senior team first. And as time went on, I kind of realised that you could go through a game, you could go through 50, 55 minutes of a game, you might be on the scoreboard, but you could have impacted it in different ways in terms of getting on ball, tracking lads, and then maybe for the last 5 or 10 minutes, you'd often find a game might open up and you could actually get 2 or 3 points towards the end of the game. So after maybe 3 or 4 years on the panel, I began to realise that patience was the key. I often found in my younger days, if I wasn't on ball early, I ended up kind of traipsing around the field looking for it. I'd often be back in my own half back line. If I was on the left side of the field, the ball could be on the right side of the field, and getting maybe frustrated by that. But I suppose now with the experience behind me, it's you kind of realise that the flow of a game, and you're trying to read it that much better to kind of be in the vicinity where the ball is landing rather than poking it up to where you should be yourself.
Yeah, and I imagine that a lot of people watching were like, oh, we actually need to let Tony Kelly do what he wants to do, because when you come in, it was with such a bang. There was really early brilliant success on a team level and on an individual level, which I imagine brings with it its own expectation in your head. Geez, I've got to be hurler of the year again every time I go out here now.
Yeah, look, I suppose when you come in and you've kind of, we had team success, I suppose, from underage when you come in, and 2013 as well, and had, I suppose, team success straight away in the senior as well. I suppose there is that kind of the pressure collectively and individually again the following year to try and replicate it. I suppose for the first maybe year or two after it, you're constantly trying to replicate it, and you're trying to work hard towards that goal. But look at then maybe going back then from maybe 2016 onwards, the team has changed so much that it's become such a distant memory. And look, it's 2013 was great, but it's well forgotten in terms of ourselves now. We won't look back on it until, I suppose, we're probably finished. And as I said, we've new management in place now. And look at the pressure that's there now is trying to maybe win a Munster Championship or get back to Croke Park and Ireland semi-final and final day. And I suppose that's the difference as well. I suppose in 2014 and 15, it was all about trying to win the All-Ireland again and replicate it. Whereas now it's we're just trying to take kind of each stage and each game as it comes. And I suppose it'll be no different heading back now in January or February. It'll be in a staged process, so your league, your Munster Championship, and hopefully heading to Croke Park next year.
It feels with the performances that the team put in this year, with so many players out for various reasons, that actually if you get everybody back next year, you'll be way closer than maybe, I don't know, the rest of the country thought you were. It felt like you were kind of stuck a little bit, but this year there's been enough players putting their hands up and enough cohesion and a kind of clear identity for the team that actually you're not that far away. When you look at the turnaround that Waterford have had from last season to this season, there's not that much in it really in Munster hurling at the moment. Is that a good thing, or is that really annoying that you're actually so close and haven't got there?
Look, you can look at it kind of either way. Firstly, myself, I look at it as a positive. I think this year, I think Brian, the management, had nine or 10 new lads played this year. It was either their first or their second year kind of on the panel. So in a way, it was mighty to get them experience, get them games under their belt. And as you said, then the caliber of player you're missing, like John Conlon was close. This year he was back. He was actually back in full contact training the week before the Waterford game. So he'll be raring for go for the league in January or February. Colm Galvin as well is close to being back from injury as well. And if we can convince Mr. Duggan outside in Australia to come home as well, he'd be a massive throw into us as well. So yeah, look, we have, I suppose, Brian has, he went with. We had a bit of experience in the field as well, but I think the important thing this year was seeing what some of the younger lads were made of, and in fairness, a good few of them did impress. So, we're not that far away, but we're no illusion too that we have an awful lot of work to do. As you said yourself, you kind of have, if you're looking at the championship this year, you are looking at the four teams that are left are probably that bit ahead of everyone else in the country this year. So it's about closing that gap and I suppose starting fresh in January and seeing where it goes from there.
Did you almost risk John Conlon in the game against Waterford?
No, I don't think you do. I don't think you do for the simple fact that next year's championship is so close. If there was a bigger gap, I suppose maybe to us, I suppose it still is a risk. But with the championship so close, I think the league is starting in February. A lot of teams will be back in January training. So it is only kind of a month away before he probably gets in the field on a Munster League game or an actual Allianz League game. So, no, I don't think you do risk it. I think maybe if we got over this weekend, you maybe get another week of contacts under his belt. But no, I don't think that's something you'd risk and jeopardise just for fear, touch wood, that something else maybe went wrong and he was to miss next season. So I don't think that's something you risk.
As a pure hypothetical, Tony, we're not talking about anybody in particular here, definitely not talking about any specifics, but can you give the All-Star Award for Hurler of the Year to somebody who didn't make the All-Ireland semi-finals?
No, I think the Hurler of the Year, I think, will come probably from the two semi-finals of the weekend. I'd say there's probably the two biggest games of the year are left. And look, I think there's probably going to be two or three lads probably sticking their hand up for that award. Especially after this weekend, but especially the final. Especially with the four teams left, like there's two cracking semi-finals. There's a lot of talent on show. There's a lot of lads, going well in all four camps. So to answer your question, my opinion is it's going to come from one of the four teams left, and probably the two finalists that get there.
Michael Quinlivan had a smile to himself after kicking a score against Cork before half time. It was just like, things are going well for me today. I know, and I'm on it. And we've talked to him before about goal chances and like the sense of calm that comes over him when he's one on one. And you were definitely at various stages in the Wexford game. There was a smile on your face after scoring, and I don't know if it's involuntary. If you're like, that was pretty good. Were there points like the point from the left touchline, for example? Were you like, well, that was not bad. I'm happy with that.
Yeah, I was kind of more happy that it went over because it went wide. I'd be getting an earful off. The forwards first of all. I'd probably get an earful then off the sideline as well. But look, I suppose when you're kind of, I suppose as a forward, when a score like that goes over, you're kind of thinking to yourself, okay, not much it can go wrong now for me. Not much can go wrong for me here today. So, it's probably about getting your hands on the ball in. I suppose confidence is sky high at that stage. And again, as I said, it's just making sure the simple things, when you're on form like that, just make sure the simple things and kind of the rest nearly takes care of itself with the amount of confidence you're playing with and the confidence in, I suppose, your own ability to put to score or get on ball. So as long as you keep the simple things intact from A to B to C, when you're in confidence like that, scores like that tend to happen and tend to go over.
And if you miss them, do you forgive yourself as well? Because you know, look, I have to try these things. That's the whole point of being here.
When you miss it, I suppose that the first thing going through your head is kind of what could I have done differently? I suppose in that situation there, if I hadn't probably got the two before, I probably would have maybe turned and looked to put it back across the 21 or back across the D. But when the first two go over, your confidence again is just sky high. But look, when you're missing opportunities, the key is not to get bogged down. Like sometimes you might take a shot, it could be the complete wrong option and go wide, and you've got to address that. But other times, if the theory with it is if you've got a clear strike at goal, well then it was the right option. If it's within your zone and it's a clear shot, you're not under that much pressure, and it goes wide, well then you live with that. And again, when you get in a similar position, you just try and rectify it the next time.
I have two last quick questions for you. The first one is about the time of the year. Shane McGrath was on and he was saying that, you know, traditionally, if you're still in club action, this is the time of year when you do really well, that there's something about, I don't know if it's a low centre of gravity or whatever it is, that actually the pitches in this time of year really suits you and you can take advantage of that. Is that something that you felt, that actually when the air was a little bit cooler, and I don't know, he seemed to have some kind of hurling sense that the pitches this time of year, the style of play, all suits you perfectly. Did you feel that?
I prefer hurling in this time of year always. I prefer kind of hurling in the winter, and it was born out of playing Harty hurling inside in St. Clannan's College. I loved playing Harty hurling in October, November, January time, February time. When I was in Flannans, I used to love going to Nina, you'd be going down to Care, you'd be playing in Waterford, playing in Limerick, and just loved playing Harty hurling. I think it was maybe born out of that. Because when I go back to the club, I love this kind of time of year. I think, I don't know what it is, maybe it's a myth or maybe it's my own head. I feel you don't get as tired playing in cooler weather or wetter weather or damper weather. Whereas in the summer, sometimes you'd be gasping for air. And I don't know. I do enjoy playing this time of year for whatever reason. And again, maybe it is all a myth in my head thinking you can't get tired when it's raining, or you can't get tired when it's dull outside. But so I was born definitely out of playing Harty hurling inside in St. Flannan's College.
They need to find some kind of compression chamber that you can just pop out of in the middle of summer and go, oh, actually, you know, I feel like it's winter. And then the other thing was you're I think 27 in December, is that right?
Yeah, 27 in December, yeah.
So this year a big deal has been made out of the 32-year-olds in that class from 07, 08. It's TJ Reid, it's Richie Hogan, it's Callanan, it's Joe Canning, and there's a fifth one. It's Patrick Horgan, I think. You've got another 5 years before you get there. So, like, this should be you coming to a peak. Not to put you under any pressure here, but, like, do you feel that, like, sense of, yeah, look, this is here for us now. If you look around that Clare dressing room, if you get the lads back from injury, those young lads who have come through who are there for 2 years, like, you have to be a leader on the field, obviously, and have been since you came through it. Is that the other side of your game that you're adding now, telling them, like, look, come on, this is here for us right now. Look, we are so close to this.
Yeah, definitely. Kind of, again, it goes back to kind of the more experience and kind of the more time you've been around it. I suppose when I came in first, we had great leaders in our dressing room, the likes of Bugler, Paddy Donlan, Colin Ryan, Fergie Lynch, you know, all them things. Even Bach, Brian O'Connell was on it when I first came in as well. So you kind of look to them lads kind of for leadership and kind of taking small pieces off them. Even from a club scene, the likes of Gary Brennan there, who's been unbelievable in terms of county football and also hurling with the club as well. So you kind of take snippets from them and you try and bring it in, adapt it to your own kind of leadership kind of role within the Clare setup. But as you said, there is a good kind of age profile coming there now. Dave McInerney, I think, is 27 or 8. Myself, Cullen Galvin, Shane Amori, 26, 27. Shane O'Donnell, 25 or 26. So you're coming to that age profile now where you need to, I suppose, all those lads in that age profile kind of need to take on more of a responsibility and more of a leadership role and help the younger lads coming through. But again, as you said, it's just something you kind of get with experience and become more comfortable with the longer, I suppose, you're playing with Clare and I suppose playing inter-county hurling as well.
Yeah, and last one for me. How long will the disappointment take to get over and you actually start thinking already about next year? Does it happen straight away? Is that what you have to do, or will you try and nurse that pain for a little while yet?
I think both. I think both go hand in hand. I think the nursing the pain, as you put it yourself, helps you get back and helps you get into the gym. And next year is coming ticking fast. And I suppose anyone that's out of the championship, I'd say, especially for us, I'd say we kind of doing our own thing back in the gym maybe this week or this weekend and get gearing up for next year again. And that's the way just the game has gone. You get maybe a week or two of downtime and then you're kind of back going, what do I need to improve on? And I suppose, look, personally for myself, it's kind of get back into the gym now and hit it hard before the winter comes, because we have, December, January. So I think the league is starting at the end of February. So kind of get your own gym work done before you go back in collectively and start hitting the running and the gym and collectively again.
Well, listen, we wish you all the best for your recovery and thanks a million. Well, it really was a sensational season. Like, I don't know if you guys understand fully just how much joy people got from watching those games and seeing them. Like, it really, I know we all talk a little bit about, oh, the sport coming back is going to give the country a lift. It actually did. Like, it genuinely did.
Yeah, definitely. You're talking about the joy that I suppose you're bringing around to everyone as well. And I suppose the players are no different either. We're not playing ourselves. We're sitting down every weekend. We're sitting down watching every weekend, watching the football and watching the hurling as well. So, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic to have it back. And I suppose anyone you meet locally is just thrilled to have it back. And the lads in Ballyhea here that's strictly a hurling club are suddenly becoming experts in Tipperary and Cavan winning the football at the weekend. So it's absolutely brilliant. People that mightn't have watched football before are tuning into it like they've always watched it, and vice versa with the hurling as well. So it's really kind of brought the whole GA community together, and even people outside the GA community that may have not have been that much interested in it before this COVID happened.
Yeah, 100%. Tony, great to have you with us. Thanks a million.
Thanks, lads.
OTB AM, Ireland's only sports breakfast show, is live from 7:30 every morning. Listen on the OTB Sports app or ask Alexa, Siri or Google to play OTB Sports Radio to start your day with the latest sports news and reaction. Subscribe by searching OTB AM on your podcast app.